Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, February 18, 2025, Zechariah.
All right, before we get started, I want to remind you that this Saturday, the evangelism team will be at Child Haven. They are going to be presenting the gospel to the teenagers, the teenage boys and girls. I pray that God will draw by his hand of grace all those teenagers supposed to be there and the staff and prepare their hearts. Pray for the evangelism team that they may be channels of God's grace and tools in God's hands to be used by him. Pray that the grace gospel is given clearly and accurately, and that God might use this to his honor and glory to bring many sons into glory. That's this Saturday, February 22nd, at Child Haven. All right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah 1. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. This comes from Tom Gilbreth, who now is writing for Hal Lindsey. Hal Lindsey's in heaven, so we don't get his writing anymore. The hidden danger of artificial intelligence. Not long ago, most people could instantly access scores of phone numbers from memory. Today, we barely know our own phone number. We don't need to remember phone numbers anymore because our phones remember them for us. People could once do tremendous amounts of math in their heads. Now most of us leave that to our devices because they are quick and accurate, and mostly because it requires little effort. While visiting friends in the Dallas area, I lamented that I had become completely dependent on GPS to move about the city. One of them said that this may get worse as artificial intelligence proliferates. He worried that AI could become a mental crutch. The more we use AI, the more human intelligence could atrophy. Like everything else, the brain must be used in order to stay fit. Your brain must be exercised. Think, damn it, think. That's very rare today. With a smile, my friend added, but I don't think AI is the Antichrist. No, I said, but it may be his best friend. Revelation chapter 13 prophesies that the world will one day worship the Antichrist and eventually hand him control of the global economy. There are many possible reasons for this, including a sense of economic desperation, worldwide desperation. AI may also play a role in conditioning humanity, making people more compliant and dumbing them down. Across a broad spectrum of society, we already see in schools test scores falling, even as test designers lower the difficulty of those tests. Our students are being dumbed down. Put your leg in a cast for only a few weeks, and what happens? It atrophies. You lose strength. Psalm 137, verse 5, speaks of a right hand forgetting its skill. Put someone's hand in a cast for 6 months, not only will it grow weak, but it will also lose its skill. And to gain back strength and dexterity takes a lot of hard work, preferably from a skilled physical therapist. Like the hand confined to a cast, the brain also atrophies from lack of use. To keep the brain's tremendous powers, you have to use your brain. A bodybuilder shapes his or her body through exercise. Brain scientists have discovered that we shape our brains in the same way, by how we exercise them, including what we choose to think about. The Bible agrees. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Science calls this brain plasticity. We now know that the ways we use our minds, including what we choose to think about, makes physical changes to the brain and to how it operates. Philippians 4:8 admonishes us to think about things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. It says, think on these things. One of AI's great dangers is that our brains will become ever lazier and weaker as we grow more dependent on it. And that may play a role in making the world susceptible to the Antichrist. Thankfully, the Bible long ago prescribed the antidote. Think about Jesus. Well, we know the mandate. We're given a mandate. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. A mandate commanded to grow up spiritually. How do you do that? Assembling in a sound Bible teaching church consistently and faithfully. Learning and believing the Word of God. And then you develop maximum grace orientation and maximum doctrinal orientation. You come to the point where you develop virtue love, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. That's because now you know the living and true God. You know His essence, you know His plan, you know His will, you know His purpose, you know His thinking. You know it, and therefore you have personal love for God the Father. You have impersonal love for all mankind. You have occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has made Himself at home where? In your heart, in your thinking, because you have occupation with Jesus Christ. So thankfully, the Bible long ago gave us the antidote. Think about Jesus. He is true and honest and just and pure and lovely, of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. Find mental health and comfort and even increased acuity as a result of thinking on Him, occupation with Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate objective of the spiritual life, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. All right, Zechariah chapter 1. Zechariah 1, we've exegeted verses 2 through 6. We didn't quite summarize it, but we exegeted it. Sounds like this. Zechariah 1 verse 2. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger. This is the function of the righteousness and justice of God, the holiness of God. The Lord was very angry, with a great anger, with your forefathers. Therefore, say to them, the remnant of returnees, thus says Jehovah Sevaoth, the Lord of the armies, the Lord Almighty, turn back to me, declares Jehovah Sevaoth, the Lord of the armies, and I will turn back to you. The function of the righteousness and justice of God will change from discipline and judgment to blessing, says the Lord of the armies, Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord Almighty. Verse 4, do not be like your forefathers, the Jews in the days of Jeremiah, to whom the earlier prophets proclaimed, saying, thus says Jehovah Tsevaoth, the Lord of the armies, change your thinking. Turn from your evil ways, your evil way of life, and turn from your evil MO, your evil practices. But they would not listen, and they would not give attention to me, declares the Lord. Verse 5, your forefathers, where are they now? They're dead. And the prophets, can they live forever? No. But the word that they taught lasts forever. Verse 6, but did not my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, did not they overtake your forefathers? Then they repented and said, as the Lord Almighty, Jehovah Tsevaoth, purposed to do to us in accordance with the norms and standards of our evil ways and our evil practices, evil MO, so He, the Lord Almighty, has dealt with us. Well, that's the start out the first paragraph. The importance, here are the returnees, they're coming back. They started out in slavery in Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. And then the Chaldeans, Nebuchadnezzar, were defeated by the Medes and the Persians. And then they were in the Persia, today is Iran. And Cyrus the Great became a believer in Jesus Christ. And as he grew up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, there was a large pivot of mature believers in Persia, Iran. And Cyrus, as he learned about the living and true God, Jesus Christ, and he learned that the Jewish people, God had a special building, a temple. And he told the Jewish people, go back. Go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the temple so that we can worship the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he gave a decree so that they could go back. Well, then Darius came along, and Darius was also a spiritually mature believer. And he also gave the same decree, go back. And they did. And Zechariah was a very young prophet. Zerubbabel went back. And they went back. They had the whole city of Jerusalem was destroyed. No fortifications, no walls. But they didn't need it. They had repented. They had turned back to God and His Word. And the beginning of this chapter, Zechariah is telling, yeah, these people have come back. Some of them have repented and turned back to God and His Word. Some of them have not. And the first thing Zechariah says is, all of you, you need to repent, biblical repentance. You need to turn back to God and to the Word of God. That's the first paragraph. That has to come first. And then we will build the temple. That comes next. Forget about the fortifications. The Lord Jesus Christ will put a wall of fire around us and protect us from all of our enemies. And Jesus Christ did that. But we need to rebuild the temple so that the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can dwell in the Holy of Holies, and we will return to worshiping the living and true God. We need to put spiritual priorities first. And so he started out. Some of them, as they came back, had turned back to God. They had biblical repentance. Many of them had not. So that's why we have this paragraph, number one. Zechariah 1, 2 through 6. So a summary of this paragraph. One, God keeps His Word. What the Lord declares in His Word, the Lord will accomplish. God keeps His Word. He's not like man. And I'm sure many of you know people. I've had people tell me that they were going to do this and do this and so on. And I had people when I was at Dallas Seminary, and they said, Dick, don't even worry about your library. I'll provide for you the money so that you can get your library and have it when God gives you a church, a flock of His sheep to teach. And so I didn't buy any of the books and that. And I waited and waited and waited. And we're going through my first year and went through my second year and went through my third year. And I was in my fourth year. And I wasn't going to say one word to that person. I said, okay, for whatever reason, he forgot or whatever. He's not going to do it. I'm not going to trust him. I have to get my library together. And, of course, my fourth year, Deb and I were married, and God provided a job for her. And with the money she made from that job, I bought all the books for my theological library as a result of that grace job, fantastic grace job that the Lord gave Debbie, and I got my library. Well, the person said he's going to do it. He didn't do it. God's not that way. God keeps His Word. You probably know a lot of people that's told you They're going to do this for you. They're going to do that for you. And it's not true. But God keeps His word too. The curses that God's word promised did indeed overtake the evildoers. The curses that God's word promised did indeed overtake the evildoers. Jeremiah lived at a time when Southern Kingdom, when there was great apostasy and degeneracy, people turned away from God, turned away from the Word of God. Bible doctrine was not important. They hated Jeremiah as a prophet. They hated what he taught. They didn't want to hear what he taught. And of course, they wound up being administered by the fifth cycle of national discipline. They were totally destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Chaldeans. Evil too, God brought in evil too, the Chaldeans, to destroy evil one, the southern kingdom Judah, in apostasy and degeneracy. And all those words of Jeremiah overtook them. That Jerusalem destroyed, the temple destroyed, the people slaughtered, and the survivors taken into slavery. Turn over to Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28. Deuteronomy 28, starting at verse 15. Verse 15. However, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all His commands and decrees I am giving you today, all these curses will come upon you and they will overtake you. You will be cursed in the city and cursed in the country. Your basket and your kneading trough will be cursed. Economic disaster. The fruit of your womb will be cursed. And the crops of your land and the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. You will be cursed when you come in and cursed when you go out. Now look over at verse 45. All these curses will come upon you. They will pursue you and overtake you until you are destroyed. Why? Because you did not obey the Lord your God and observe the commands and decrees He gave you. They will be a sign and a wonder to you and your descendants forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God joyfully and gladly in the time of prosperity. Therefore, in hunger and thirst, in nakedness and dire poverty, you will serve the enemies that the Lord sends against you. He will put an iron yoke on your neck until He has destroyed you. The curses that God's word promised did indeed overtake the evildoers. Three, during the Babylonian captivity, some of the Jewish people repented. During the Babylonian captivity, some of the Jewish people repented. And then when the Chaldeans were defeated by the Persians, the Medo-Persians, under Cyrus the Great and Darius, more of them repented and turned back to God and His Word. So point four, they rebounded and change their thinking toward God and toward the Word of God. Exactly what we need in America today. Turn over to Daniel. Daniel. Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. Verse 1. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, Darius was a Mede by descent. And Darius became not only just a Christian, a believer, he became a winner believer, spiritually mature believer. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah, the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. 70 years. 70 years in slavery to the Chaldeans and then the Medes and the Persians. Verse 3. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God, and confessed. Rebound. O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of grace with all those who, what? Who love him and obey his commands. We have sinned and done wrong. This needs to be the thinking in America today. We have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked. Well, wicked. Only thing you know that's wicked is wicked ale, some of you. Reversionists. And have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Lord, you are righteous, the righteous, holy God. But this day we are covered with shame. The men of Judah and the people of Jerusalem and all Israel, both near and far, in all the countries where you have scattered us because of our unfaithfulness to you, O Lord, we and our kings, our princes and our fathers are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. Therefore, the curses and sworn judgments, the five cycles of national discipline, written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against you. You have fulfilled the word spoken against us and against our rulers by bringing upon us great disaster. The fifth cycle of national discipline. Under the whole heaven, nothing has ever been done like what has been done to Jerusalem. Just as it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth, the Word of God, Bible doctrine. The Lord did not hesitate to bring the disaster upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. Now, our Lord, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and who made for yourself a name that endures to this day, we have sinned. We have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath from Jerusalem, your city, your holy hill. Our sins and the iniquities of our fathers have made Jerusalem and your people an object of scorn to all those around us. Now, our God, hear the prayers and the petitions of your servant. For your sake, O Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive us. O Lord, hear and act for your sake. O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. Well, Daniel was one of the great people who was first of all in Babylon and then in Persia, Iran, and he communicated grace and truth throughout the land. And Cyrus became a winner believer. Darius became a winner believer. There became a great pivot of mature believers in Persia. And Cyrus and his faith in Jesus Christ realized that the Jewish people needed, he gave a decree that they were allowed to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild Jerusalem, rebuild the temple so that the living and true God can dwell as the Shekinah glory in the Holy of Holies. So 5. They admitted that God's judgment, the administration of the 5 cycles of discipline, and their captivity was completely justified. They admitted that God's administration of judgment, 5 cycles of national discipline, and their captivity, their slavery, were totally justified because they ignored and rejected the teaching of the Lord's servants, the prophets. They rejected the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures. 6. They admitted that they had persisted in their evil ways and evil MO, the carnal reversionistic life. They admitted that they had persisted in their evil ways and evil MO, the carnal reversionistic life. 7, God's judgment is always based on the apostasy and degeneracy and of his people. God's judgment is always based on the apostasy and degeneracy, both moral degeneracy and immoral degeneracy, of his people. Eight. Now, this message that Zechariah gives us in the first paragraph is exactly the message that needs to be taught to Client Nation USA today. Exactly the same thing that needs to be taught throughout this nation today. And when we rebound, when we turn back to God and His Word, when we repent, change our thinking from negative volition to positive volition, when we change from arrogance to humility, then our restoration begins in America. What we do here 5 times a week is more important than anything else in your life. There's nothing more important than what goes on here 5 times a week. Now, the biggest part of Upland Bible Church is the non-face-to-face ministry. And it's all over this nation and around the world. And we get, this ministry is supported not by you, face to face. It's supported by the non-face to face ministry. It's amazing. The non-face to face ministry, and it comes from all over America. And every day, we get letters and monetary support for this ministry day after day from all over America and different parts of the world. And the non-face-to-face part of this congregation, my flock includes non-face-to-face flock and face-to-face. The face-to-face ones are getting fewer faces all the time. But the non-face-to-face is increasing all the time. So, and there's nothing wrong with that. Non-face-to-face, there's almost nowhere in this country you can get sound doctrinal Bible teaching. Almost nowhere. Very, very few pastors who are faithful, who have been prepared for the ministry, that are feeding the flock. And so here are believers living all over this country, and they don't have a sound doctrinal Bible teacher there. But they're a part of my sheep. So I have some part of the flock that God's given me are non-face-to-face, but they're my sheep. Part of the flock God's given me are face-to-face. They're my sheep. So God has given me a flock of sheep to teach the God-breathed scriptures to. And it includes face-to-face and non-face-to-face. And there's one pastor. I am the pastor of the non-face-to-face ones and pastor of the face-to-face ones. But the only reason why we're here is because the flock, and right now, about 80 to 90% of it is non-face-to-face all over America. And that is phenomenal. So the message today in America is exactly the same as what Zechariah taught in the first paragraph, Zechariah 1, 1, 2 through 6. Now that brings us to a series of 8 visions. A series of 8 visions. That's Zechariah 1, 7 through Zechariah 6, verse 15. 8 visions. Zechariah 1, 7 through Zechariah 6, verse 15. So by way of introduction to this section, Zechariah had a contemporary prophet the same time as him, and that was Haggai. So like his contemporary Haggai, Zechariah called on Judah to finish rebuilding the temple immediately. You got to get your spiritual priorities first. Forget about the walls. Jesus Christ will put a wall of fire around us and protect us. The most important thing is get the spiritual priorities first. And there, in the age of Israel, there were sacred buildings. There are no sacred buildings today. Today, the sacred building is your body. God, the Holy Spirit, makes your body a temple for the indwelling of the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ and God the Father. So there are no sacred buildings today. But in the age of Israel, there was a sacred building. And the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, dwelt in the Holy of Holies of the tabernacle, and then the Holy of Holies in the temple. And so both Haggai and Zechariah said, you need to get your spiritual priority straight. We need to rebuild the temple immediately so that the Shekinah glory, Jesus Christ, can dwell in the Holy of Holies and we can worship the living and true God. So Zechariah, as did Haggai, called on Judah to finish rebuilding the temple immediately because its completion was important to God's future blessing. Zechariah's message stirred these returnees from their apathy and moved them to resume the construction of the temple. Turn over to Ezra. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. Ezra chapter 6. Start at verse 13. Ezra 6 verse 13. Then, because of the decree King Darius had sent, this is spiritually mature believer King Darius, Tattenai, governor of Trans-Euphrates, and Shethar-Bozenai, if you want to name your next son, there you go, and their associates carried it out with diligence. So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the teaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius. Soon after reconstruction began, the Lord gave Zechariah a series of 8 visions that we are now going to be studying. Zechariah 1, 7 to chapter 6, verse 15. Zechariah received all 8 visions in one night. All 8 visions in one night. He didn't imagine them. It wasn't because he ate too much pizza. He didn't imagine them while he was sleeping. Rather, he received the divine revelation while he was completely awake, totally awake. These visions unfold prophetic events that extend from Judah's return to Israel to the day when Israel's Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will return and establish his millennial kingdom. The Bible gives the exact date of these eight visions in Zechariah 1, verse 7. This was 3 months after Zechariah's message on repentance, Zechariah 1, 1 through 6. The first vision involved a rider on a red horse, standing among myrtle trees. That's Zechariah 1, 8 to 17. So the first vision involved a rider on a red horse standing among myrtle trees, Zechariah 1, 8 to 17. The second vision was a vision of four horns and four craftsmen, Zechariah 1, 18 to 21. The second vision was a vision of four horns and four craftsmen, Zechariah 1, 18 to 21. In these two visions, Zechariah revealed God's grace, God's mercy and care for his own people, and the eventual destruction of Israel's enemies. So in these two visions, Zechariah revealed God's amazing grace and mercy and care for his own people, the Jewish people, and the eventual destruction of Israel's enemies. So the first vision, the red horse rider among the myrtle, Zechariah 1, 7 to 17. Now Zechariah 1, 7, here's the corrected translation. I'm not going to go through all the exegesis. I'm just going to give you the corrected translation of Zechariah 1, 7. On the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat, in the second year of Darius, February 15th, 519 B.C. So on the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Shabbat and the second year of Darius, what is that date? February 15th, 519 B.C. The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah, son of Berechiah and the grandson of Iddo. So, once, yeah, that exegesis wasn't painful at all, was it? Okay. One, the Bible gives the exact date of these eight visions. February 15th, 519 B.C. So the Bible gives the exact date of these eight visions. February 15th, 519 B.C. Two, Shabbat, which I have up here on the overhead, was the Babylonian name of the 11th month adopted by the Jews after the exile. Shabbat was the Babylonian name of the 11th month adopted by the Jews after the exile. Three, this date was 5 months after the building of the temple was resumed. This date was 5 months after the building of the temple was resumed. And that's Haggai 1, 14 and 15, and Haggai 2, 15. So this date was 5 months after the building of the temple was resumed. Haggai 1, 14 and 15, and chapter 2, verse 15. 4. This date was 3 months after Zechariah's first prophecy, Zechariah 1:1. This date was 3 months after Zechariah's first prophecy, Zechariah 1:1. Five. This date was 2 months after Haggai's last prophecy, Haggai 2:20. This date was 2 months after Haggai's last prophecy, Haggai 2:20, which was a prophecy regarding the destruction of the world powers before the millennial rule of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Haggai 2:21 to 23. So this date was 2 months after Haggai's last prophecy, Haggai 2:20, which was a prophecy regarding the destruction of the world powers before the millennial rule of Messiah Jesus Christ. 6. The source of Zechariah's vision is clearly denoted by the clause, "The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah." The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah. So the source of Zechariah's vision is clearly denoted by the clause, "The word of the Lord came to the prophet Zechariah." 7. That phrase, "the word of the Lord came," that is a prophetic formula indicating divine revelation. That phrase, "the word of the Lord came," is a prophetic formula indicating divine revelation. All right. Vision number one. Zechariah 1:8. I saw by night. Cal perfect of Ra'ah with the first person singular subject plus the noun Lila with the definite article. All right, we have the verb Ra'ah. That's R-A. Aleph, A-H, Ra'ah. A couple of things on Ra'ah. First of all, literally, Ra'ah means to see. Literally, it means to see. Two, it is used to see in a vision. In our verse, it refers to seeing in a vision. Three, this vision came during Lila. Lila or Layla. This looks like this. They're cheering about what we're studying in here. Yeah. L-A-Y-L-A-H. Lila, Layla. And that's the Hebrew word for night. This vision came during the night. Layla. Four. The phrase, "I had a vision," denotes the means by which divine revelation was conveyed to Zechariah. The phrase, "I had a vision," denotes the means by which divine revelation was conveyed to Zechariah. Now, before I taught this class tonight, I did not have a vision. God does not use visions today. Today, the pastor, the gift, the one with the gift of pastor teacher needs to get in and beat his brains out, studying the God-breathed scriptures. From the original languages, not from translations, not from English translations, but from the God-breathed scriptures, the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Koine Greek. And in that, well, you better prepare for the ministry and learn Koine Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and then you get in there. My Greek text and Hebrew text is falling apart after these many moons of studying and teaching y'all. And I get in there and I've been here about 300 years now, evangelistically speaking. And I'm still learning things. And I just learned this last week that when you have the improper preposition henecha preceding an articular infinitive, a genitival articular infinitive, so you got improper preposition henecha with a genitival articular infinitive, I learned that that introduces purpose. I'd never study that, but it's only found in that construction one time, and that's in the New Testament. And I'm studying this verse, and it was very, very tough Greek for me. I had to stop and say, "Father, I need God the Holy Spirit to guide me, teaching, illuminating, recalling ministry. I need all the tools." And, Doc, you know, when I went to Dallas Seminary, there was a Greek professor, Dr. Phil Williams. Dr. Phil Williams had the greatest system for communicating Koine Greek ever. Ever. And I realized that first year I had Greek from him, and he handed out his notebook of yellow pages. Call them the yellow pages. And I realized what he had done here was absolutely phenomenal. And I took every course I could from Dr. Phil Williams in Koine Greek. And it was, while I was studying this last week, I was stuck. I pull out the yellow pages and I found my verse I was studying, and it's in our Wednesday class, Corinthians. I turned there and there it's on infinitive, and it had infinitive of purpose, and there's about five different ways that infinitive is presented to present purpose. And the last one was henneken, and then two, that's the article in genitive case, articular participle of the verb. Henneken, genitival, articular participle, and this is the only time in the Bible, in the Koine Greek of the Bible, the only time it's used a lot in classical Greek, but guess who? Guess who knows to use that? The genius, the Apostle Paul. He knew classical Greek, and he takes something that nobody else knew about and put it in there, and I'm going, wahoo! Oh, this is awesome. This is great. This is fantastic. None of you will probably appreciate it. But it took a lot of time beating my brains out for people who don't even have an interest to be here. But I'll keep on beating my brains out for the ones who are non-face-to-face who want to get it. And that just opened it up when I saw that. Wow. So it should be translated in order that for the purpose that. And then the whole verse just fell into. And this is the only time in the Koine Greek, in the Bible, that this system is used. Used a lot in classical Greek. The only time in Koine Greek. Well, I thought you would really like that. So, point four, the phrase, I had a vision, denotes the means by which divine revelation was conveyed to Zechariah. Five, the expression does not refer to a dream. Zechariah was wide awake, as is apparent by his questions that he presents in verse 9 and his interruptions while the vision is going on in chapter 3, verse 5. I've already gone past that when he interrupts. Zechariah got all excited and interrupted what was going on in the vision. So it starts out, during the night, I had a vision. And then we have, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse. I mean, that, when you see a man riding on a red horse, you bet you're going to say, behold. You just don't see that every day. And behold, a man riding upon a red horse. Well, we're going to start with behold next week with our heads bowed. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.